Okay. Good evening, all. Good to see you all. Good to be back. Good to be back in person. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, I and my son are doing well, and it's good to be learning together again, like I said, in person. Our learning tonight is sponsored by B. and Joel Dickstein in memory of B.'s mother, Rivka Bas Sesia Zichrona Levracha, by Avi Pianica in memory of his father, Yosef Ben Rav Simcha Bonim Zichrona Levracha, and by Susan Polavoy in memory of her grandmother, Yosef Mendel Ben Shalom Yona Zichrona Levracha. Thank you for that. And we continue our limud of Perek Dalet of the Mesilas Yesharim. The passage that I want to focus on tonight in the Mesilas Yesharim appears on page Chaf Hei, page 25 in the Feldheim edition that I've been using, and builds on something that we spoke about at this point. It was quite some time ago, roughly 2 weeks ago, pertaining to how one motivates oneself to improve character and improve in Avodas Hashem. And if you recall, the Ramchal had three different tiers. There are those who are so sacred and righteous that they just pursue what's right because it's right. And then there's a second tier of those who think about their spiritual stature and how other people are going to perceive them. And then finally, what he identified as the lowest level, but is an important motivator in and of itself, is simple schar v'onesh, reward and punishment, thinking about the rewards that we will receive for our meritorious acts and the punishments that will be meted out for failure to meet our responsibilities and our moments of failure. Now, in highlighting or in developing this last category, the Ramchal goes on a lengthy discussion about the severity of judgment. And he says as follows. This is, again, page Chaf Hei, towards the bottom of the page. He says, Ach ha'ara l'chol ha'amon, hineyu b'inin ha'schar v'onash atzmam. He says, most people who aren't on those higher spiritual levels that he outlined earlier are just going to think about reward and punishment. But os omek ha'din ad heichan magia. And especially when one thinks about the Omek Adin is, I guess, literally the depth of judgment, or the full, I guess if we were translating it more loosely, the full scope of judgment. It's full scope and the extent to which it extends. Asher be'emes ro'i l'hazda'azeo l'hizchare tamid ki mi ya'amod b'yom dinu mi'yitzdak l'fnei voro. Because if you really thought about that to its full scope and extent, you'd be trembling always, and you'd be reflecting upon the impossibility of standing in judgment before the Creator. And then he talks about, the next line is, Ba'asher hashkafaso midukdekes al kol davar katon o gadol. Because when Hashem judges us, he sees all, every great matter, and every small matter. And it's really that line, davar katon o gadol, every great and small matter, that the Ramchal focuses on the next several pages of the Mesilas Yesharim. And he highlights, through several examples from figures in the Tanakh, how Hashem judges us on all matters in life, whether they be, again, important matters of life, or what we would tend to identify as minutiae, really small things in life that are easily dismissed as insignificant. And he goes on to give example after example of our greatest tzaddikim, who made really minuscule errors and were punished for them. He gives the example of Avraham and Yaakov and Yosef and David, etc., etc. And he highlights chataim, if you can even call them that, things that most of us certainly wouldn't have identified as sins, and until you read the Mesilas Yesharim, you wouldn't have even realized that they were necessarily identified as something wrong. Of course, it's all based on Ma'amari Chazal. When Avraham asks Hashem, Ba'mo'eda, how will I know, Ki'i Rashana, how give me a sign that this covenant is true, that my progeny, that my children are going to inherit the land, the Ramchal quotes a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which says that Avraham Avinu was punished for asking for that sign from Hashem. Chayecha yadoa tidaki geri yazaracha. You're asking, Ba'mo'eda, how am I going to know? You will surely know your children are going to go down into exile. And again, one after the next, he points to all these great figures and the really small mistakes that they made and the way in which Hashem held them accountable for it and judged them for these small mistakes. So again, it's one of these areas where if you just read it on a surface level, There's fear and trepidation over the severity of judgment and the fact that Hashem judges us for even small things. And I think to a large degree, that's part of what the Ramchal is trying to communicate. Like we said, sometimes that is the fallback motivator when you're not on a higher spiritual level, when you're ready to motivate yourself just because of doing things that are right because they are right. You do need that fallback motivator and perhaps the fear, like he says, the fear and trembling and trepidation of judgment is part of what he highlights. But I think there's something more subtle here as well, and I think it's worthy of emphasis, and I think it's something that also emerges from the further analysis of the Ramchal after he provides all of those examples. And I think to a large degree, what the Ramchal is trying to communicate when he highlights the responsibility that we have, even for the small decisions that we make, the small things that we do, the minutiae of life, is just an emphasis on the fact that everything we do in life matters. And that is, to a large degree, the point that he is making. He quotes afterwards several Ma'amari Chazal, Gemara and Chagiga, disparaging those who declare that the things that we do don't make a difference, don't matter. And to a large degree, he highlights these punishments over even small decisions to emphasize that everything we do in life, everything makes a difference, everything is important, everything is worthy of consideration and careful calculation, because everything is considered significant by the Ribono Shel Olam. And I think it's a really powerful point, and one that I think it's a mentality, or the mentality that he's militating against, the notion that our choices don't make, is something that has only picked up in more recent times, since the Ramchal's writing of the Mesilas Yesharim. I remember when I was in 12th grade, one of the novels that we read in our AP English Literature class was Camus' The Stranger. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the philosophy of Camus. He was a 1950s French existentialist. And to a large degree, his existentialism was based on the notion that what we do doesn't matter. Life is meaningless, life is pointless, and what we do does not matter. And to my teacher's credit at the time, he was presenting it as a viewpoint that's dramatically opposed to what we believe as a Torah viewpoint. Sometimes you can better appreciate what you have by seeing the contrast. I mean, I found The Stranger to be a remarkably depressing work, and helped me better appreciate the Torah's emphasis on the meaning and value of life. But that is a mentality that has largely picked up over time. And certainly when it comes to small decisions about what we do, you know, a classic question that we will get about the halacha, and I don't think it's a new phenomenon, but it's one that has picked up recently, is why do these small things matter? Why is it so important? How I wake up in the morning, and how I tie my shoes, and going through all the classic examples, and how I heat up food on Shabbos. Why do these things matter? What is the big deal? I'm a good and decent person in the larger scheme of things. Why is the halacha so obsessed with the minutiae of life, with giving these detailed rules and guidelines for all of the small components of my life? Why is the halacha micromanaging every single thing that I do? And to me, the answer is because the halacha cares and it matters and it values the actions that we make, even when there are things that we as human beings can dismiss as insignificant or perhaps unimportant. The halacha tells us that no, everything we do is of immense significance, is of immense importance. There's an article that Rav Lichtenstein wrote on the topic of, it was called Law and Spirituality. And it was addressing a growing tension in Israeli society, which I think has perhaps come over to American shores to a certain degree as well, of people who perceived a tension between ruchaniyut and halacha. Ruchaniyut being spirituality, feelings of spirituality, and halacha, which are the laws of Torah life that kind of guide us in terms of what we're doing, and perhaps in instances tether that spirituality. He was addressing a phenomenon of someone who says, look, I feel so much more inspired davening shacharis alone in the forest at 11 a.m. rather than davening with a tzibur in a shul at 7:30. So why does the halacha put all sorts of restrictions on how I'm supposed to talk to Hashem and how I'm supposed to daven? And it's telling me with whom I'm supposed to daven, at what times I'm supposed to daven, what words I'm supposed to say. Why is the halacha holding my spirituality back? And it's actually a very valid question. Indeed, I think there are instances where one might be licensed to daven biyachidos, let's say, in order to have a more spiritual davening. And it's when that's licensed and when not is a larger discussion beyond our scope for tonight. But he, in the article, addresses that tension at length and talks about how we navigate that. But at the end, he closes with the observation that as much as he understands why many people perceive there to be this tension between ruchaniyut and halacha, between spirituality and the dictates of halacha, it's one that he never felt personally. He can understand it. He can understand why, where others are coming from. But he says that I always felt it was precisely the opposite. He said, for me, halacha was a way of injecting meaning into even the most mundane elements of my life. And those strictures and rules for me were never just strictures and rules, but each one was a spiritual opportunity. So I was able to take even the most mundane day-to-day components of my life and elevate them through the opportunities that halacha provides. Because halacha asserts that our small decisions are indeed meaningful. This is a major theme in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's Nefesh HaChaim, where he talks about the Olamos HaAlyonim. He speaks about it's heavily Kabbalistic. But he talks extensively about how the small things that we do here have dramatic effects in these metaphysical realms that exist above us, because our decisions do matter. And in highlighting that, perhaps the passage I like the most is a passage I'll quote from the Rambam. And this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet, is actually a very famous Rambam. It's a Rambam that talks about the importance of the Aser Simei Tshuva. And in particular, this is where the Rambam says that the Tekiyah Shofar has a remez to Uru Yishena Mishenaschem. He says that when we blow the shofar is intended to be a kind of wake-up call to shake us from our slumber, to get us to realize what's truly important and to focus on what's truly important. But the Rambam goes further. That's the most famous part of the Rambam, the Uru Yishena Mishenaschem, and that's the first line of the Rambam. But then he goes on to say that during the period of judgment, everyone is obligated to view themselves as if their life is in perfect balance between Zechuyos and Avonos. Because you don't know what the heavenly courts are saying about you, because you don't know what their verdict is going to be, you just, out of care and caution, have to view yourself as if things are lying in perfect balance, and as if the choices that you make have dramatic ramifications. He says, Lefikach tzar kol adam shehira atzmo kol ashana kulo ki ilo chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. A person must view themselves always as if, again, everything hangs in the balance, as if everything is perfectly even, perfectly weighed. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. And you have to view the entire world as if everything is perfectly hanging in the balance. The entire world, the Rambam speaks earlier about how the entire world is judged over the course of the Aser Simei Tshuva, and he says that you have to view things as if they're in perfect balance. You don't know where the heavenly court is, how the heavenly court is deciding, where things lie. The Rambam says, Chata cheit echad, Hare hechriya es atzma bi es kolo olam kulo lo kafchova begaram lo ashchasa. If you do one sin, then you have condemned not just yourself, but the entirety of the world, the universe essentially, to conviction, to begaram lo ashchasa. You've condemned it to be destroyed. As a mitzvah achas, hare hechriya es atzma bi es kolo olam kulo lo kafchos, begaram lo ulahem teshuva vahatzala. And if you do one mitzvah, you've saved the entirety of the earth. You have brought salvation to not just yourself, but to the earth in its entirety. And of course, on the one hand, it's again, if you just look at it itself, it's a powerful psychological tool or thought experiment in its own right. But to me, this Rambam is perhaps the greatest expression of the notion that everything that we do matters. And it's so easy to dismiss our small decisions and summarily and just say, or cavalierly, and say, who really cares? Hashem really cares? The classic question, right? When people are scoffing, they'll say, oh, Hashem really cares about the nuances of milk and meat, or how I tie my shoes on Shabbos, or this and that. And the answer is yes, he really does. Because all the actions that we do have cosmic significance, according to the Rambam, in a literal sense, cosmic significance. Every choice that we make has the potential to tip the judgment of the universe in one direction or the next. So when the Ramchal tells us that we are punished on our small actions, I don't think it's just a fear tactic, as much as that might be important in and of itself. I think it's also a statement about how careful we need to be about all of our choices, about all of our actions. Because Torah tries to get us to recognize that everything counts, everything matters. The big things we do, the small things we do, it all counts, it all has immense significance. And when we properly understand that, we do indeed, hopefully, exert greater care in the great choices that we make and the small choices that we make as well, in recognizing their universal significance.